Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa nimaona misozi masomu wake ni mafuto abale ni mafuto.
Good morning, and from Dallas, Texas, welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. This is our third segment, if I may say, for the day, and I thank my colleague Roger for standing in for the 2 hours, a lot of work. Today, we are going to Lusaka, and we'll be talking to the Young African Leaders Initiative in Zambia. Isaac Mwanza serves as the governance advisor. Last week, we had Ms. Sarah Longwe, the vice chairperson for the Grand Coalition on the Zambia's constitution. So the idea is to get a perspective from another point of view on the position of this, which has been a daunting issue for our colleagues. My name is Nathan Nkama, and I'm hosting you from Dallas, Texas. Isaac is brought to you courtesy of Stephen Banda Communications. For all our colleagues worldwide, Stephen Banda can provide you their calling service system from any part of the country, of the world, USA, Canada, UK, and Australia. So just go to their website, stephenbandacommunications.com, and they will be able to get you that service going. Okay, so that is our sponsor. The issue of the constitution is a daunting one, and it has really been a thorn in the flesh for our country, and we're trying to find a way to get this thing done before the 2016 general election. I don't know how possible this is going to be, Roger. Welcome back, my friend. I don't know how workable this is and why it has been such a big problem for us.
That is for by election?
Yeah. No, I mean the issue of the constitution.
Listen, I wish I could help you. It is one thing I've failed to understand. Why is it every government which comes in, they just find it impossible to do? Why? I don't know. I wish Edgar is not a young man, but he could just say, I'm going to do something very different. There may be things I don't like in here, but I'm going to do some stuff. Yes.
Oh, I tell you. Yeah, maybe Isaac will help us understand why this is such a big issue, and you know, and understand.
Because they all want to come in, Nathan, with all different kinds of reasons why they can't do it. All of them, without fail. All of them. These ones, they said they will pass it in 90 days. The PF, they failed. Now they've gone to money. Oh, we don't have enough money to do this in this period. Come
yeah,
on.
I anyway, let's find out from our colleagues. Zebron, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Thank you. I was on mute.
Yeah, I know. But Zebron, welcome back.
Thank you, Vanessa, and congratulations with Snom.
I like that. I like that. Okay, let's get to our discussion. Our guest has joined us, and like we promised last week, we spoke to Ms. Sarah Longwe, the vice chairperson for the Grand Commission on People-Driven Constitution in Zambia. And the Young African Leaders Initiative, popularly known as YALI, they kept coming up, and I asked a lot of questions why they left the coalition. So we are honored and privileged to have my good friend Isaac Mwanza, who serves as governance advisor to Young African Leaders in Zambia. He was recently in the United States as a Mandela Washington Fellow at the invitation of U.S. President Barack Obama. Isaac, good evening.
Good evening, Nathan, and good evening, listeners.
Thank you for joining us, Isaac. It's good to have you on. We've already lost like 5-6 minutes here. Let's get into it. YALI was part of the Grand Coalition. What are the rules of the Grand Coalition that people or groups are violating and leading to them leaving the coalition?
The Young African Leaders Initiative was initially part of the Grand Coalition.
Yes.
When the Grand Coalition was formed in Tsamba, we were part of the pioneers of the Grand Coalition. And we seem to have worked very well with our colleagues in the Grand Coalition. But I think from the onset, I need to mention that being part of the Grand Coalition, there was no memorandum of understanding that was signed with any member of the Grand Coalition who became a member. And we saw a number of other organizations that were there that did not actually join, that came on board to join the Grand Coalition.
Okay.
So as time went by, the Grand Coalition had a number of activities which it was doing, and we are part and parcel of those activities. But like I said, we maintained our autonomy as an organization. We were able to make very key decisions on the Constitution as an organization. Being part of the Grand Coalition was no excuse for us not to make certain decisions that we made in the process. And
okay,
we had agreed with the Grand Coalition that what we needed to do was to compel government to release the first draft constitution. And the issues that the Grand Coalition was concerned about in Tsamba when it was being formed were what was called the basic minimums. We wanted a civil society to see a certain things included in the constitution for us to support it when it goes to a referendum. And those included issues such as the 50% plus one, the presidential running mate, a cabinet outside parliament, and the 7 other issues that had been tabled and agreed by the Grand Coalition. So the mandate was actually a two-way system. It was to compel government to release the draft constitution, as well as see that the draft constitution has the basic minimum that we had set for us to support the draft constitution. That was the whole essence forming the Grand Coalition.
Okay. Why did YALI leave the coalition?
Why YALI left the coalition? Like I've said, that we were an autonomous body that was capable of making its own decisions. And when we noticed that the Grand Coalition were having these activities countrywide, holding prayer meetings, taking a confrontational approach to government, at some point, we voiced our concern within the Grand Coalition that it is better we begin to engage more than these confrontations and the prayer meetings that we are not bringing out the draft constitution. But our friends still insisted that we have to continue with the prayer meetings and the approach that had been taken by various stakeholders. And at that point, I want to mention that the political parties had come on board in the Grand Coalition, and they were becoming a major player. They were making the shots of what must happen and what must not happen. So we had the UPND, we had the FDD, we had the Father Warriors Party, the Alliance for Better Zambia, all these political parties had come on board. So that kind of an approach where you are confrontational with government, it was not heading us anywhere. And as an organization, we decided to say, we are going to approach government to listen to them. What is it that they are objecting to release the draft constitution? Or what is it that they are uncomfortable with when it comes to having a new constitution of Zambia? So we went and approached the Minister of Justice then, who was Honorable Winter Kabimba, and is the permanent secretary. We sat in that meeting. We discussed our concerns that, one, we needed, as civil society, we're interested in having the draft constitution released. We're interested in having a referendum because we're expanding the Bill of Rights. We're also interested in ensuring that the basic minimums are included in the constitution. Those issues we discussed with them, including the legislative framework to protect the constitutional reform process. We discussed with government, and they discussed with us their various concerns that it seems the Grand Coalition and ourselves inclusive, we're trying to use the whole process to unseat a government. We're trying to have a new constitution as a way of unseating the Patriotic Front government. That was the core. And they also looked at the resources, how much resources were involved in the process to come up with a new constitution. For instance, how much a referendum would cost, how much the census is going to cost, and all those issues taken into account. Government had said that a number of priorities that they cannot remove the resources and divert to the other side of the coin. And government appreciated our concern that we want to dialogue, we want them to understand that the citizens of the Republic of Zambia want a new constitution. They want issues I've been talking about several times. Seen, we need to amend the constitution or to have a new constitution. And so they challenged us to say, it's good that you have come to government now, we're able to talk, but can you go ahead and give us a proposal? Because then government did not have a roadmap on the constitution. Nobody had a roadmap on the constitution. The Grand Coalition had no roadmap on the constitution. The government had no roadmap on the constitution. So government had asked us to say, you give us a roadmap, and then we shall look at this roadmap as government and advise accordingly which direction we are going to go. And two, we went back. We did not give the roadmap there and then. We went back to reflect on the kind of roadmap that we needed for us to have a new constitution. And what we came up with was called the 10-point master plan, which is a roadmap to end the constitutional reform process.
Isaac,
that was the concession which the Grand Coalition had.
Let me just stop you right there. Before you go to the 10-point roadmap of forming the constitution, my understanding from your explanation and the way Father Waria was treated, it seems that the Grand Coalition had a problem with you approaching the government and Chief Justice Minister for that matter. Would I be wrong to think like that?
Well, I think that's the way it looks now, because afterwards they seem to have had a problem. But I need to mention to you that individual members of the Grand Coalition had been approaching government. Others had even met Mr. Sata. Not everybody in the Grand Coalition would just sit and wait for the Grand Coalition to make those decisions. The office forum, at one time, they held meetings. The office forum is part of the Grand Coalition. JCTR, they held meetings, Father Chiti and the rest. They held meetings, separate meetings, with these government representatives. And so we wonder why Yali cannot have the same leverage to hold meetings if people had a problem with government, when others in the Grand Coalition everybody was free to hold meetings with government, with the president. And I met the president. We did not meet the president ourselves. We met the representative of the president. And I met the president. So if they had a problem with us meeting the government, it is unfortunate because most of them, even now, they are individually meeting these government officials. So to us, I think it's not a question of whether we should have gotten permission or whether we should have notified the Grand Coalition. No, we're operating as an independent institution, the same way that other organizations were operating, and we had the right to hold that meeting with the Minister of Justice.
Excellent. Bayaga, I will still come back to the 10 points of Yari's roadmap on the formulation of the Constitution. Two things, Isaac, here. My understanding in talking to Ms. Sarah Longwe last weekend is that the coalition's primary position or objective is this can only and will only be done and acceptable through a referendum. Is that the true picture of position of the Grand Coalition?
Come again with the last one.
I'm saying that the Grand Coalition, it appears their position is this, the Constitution should only be enacted or adopted through a referendum. Is that a true position?
Yes, that is the position of the Grand Coalition now, that it should only be enacted only through a referendum. But like I've explained to you, the formation of the Grand Coalition, we agreed to say that we need a referendum because we're expanding the Bill of Rights. But we did not give a timeline to say that this referendum is actually wanted before the elections of 2016. Probably that's where the difference came in with the Grand Coalition. We are not disagreeable even ourselves, even as we are talking now. We are not saying we do not want a referendum. We want a referendum because we are amending the Bill of Rights. But the question is on the time frame. That is why we have the differences with our friends. We have taken an approach which simply says we want a referendum before 2016. And that was not an agreed position from the beginning, from the meeting in Chisamba. We only had agreed that we need a referendum because we are amending the Part 3 of the Constitution, which requires a referendum. So that is the position, and we still agree to that position. But I think the difference that we have with them concerns the actual timeline when we want this referendum and how it can be done.
And interesting, Isaac. Okay, let's go back to the... You keep using the word the basic minimum. Educate us what these basic minimum points or requirements that you guys want in the Constitution to be.
The basic minimum that we agreed in the Grand by the Grand Coalition in Chisamba, like I said, the issue of the 50% plus one, we wanted it addressed. We wanted to have the parliament to be appointed, cabinet to be appointed outside the parliament. We wanted a presidential running mate. We wanted the clear separation of powers. We wanted the land issues to be dealt with clearly. Okay, and we wanted the Bill of Rights. So those are some of the issues that are forming the 10 basic minimums that we are talking about. And those basic minimums, I think, are what the Zambian people have been saying time and again to say they would like to see included in the new constitution.
We are talking to, you are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're speaking to Isaac Mwanza, our governance advisor at the Young African Leaders Initiative, brought to you with the compliments of Stephen Banda Communications. Check them out on the website, stephenbandacommunications.com. And they are also on Facebook, Stephen Banda Communications. Isaac, does, I don't know, help me. You see, some of the things that concern people like us is the, I know, I don't want us to go into issues of the way things are being done now. Just things like, does this constitution address the issue of parliamentarians switching parties, or let me just say things that are creating unnecessary by-elections. Is that being addressed in the Constitution?
That is one of the issues that the new Constitution was, is going to address. Because we feel that we need to change the system which allows us to go for by-elections whenever a member of a political party dies, that we have to go for by-election, which is a cost and a wastage of resources. So that issue is certainly being addressed by the provision of the draft constitution. And as you may be aware, we have been using the first past the post system in our system. But now we are also trying to propose a system which will be called the mixed member representation system in Parliament. The earlier one, which was proposed by the technical committee, was the proportional representation system. But that was amended during the National Consultative Forum to in favor of the mixed member representation system, which will allow that even those who are second should have a say in the governance of the country. Even the women should be represented. Even the youth must be represented in Parliament. So these are the issues that I think the draft constitution seems to be addressing. The crossing of the floor, it is being addressed as well. But these are issues that I think we need to subject them to consensus, because the people would still argue to say, if you go into Parliament, okay, if you go into Parliament, there are people who go into Parliament just for the sake of trying to get the job as ministers. And if we are going to have a situation where people are going to Parliament merely to go and get the jobs, we are going to continue seeing people cross from one side to the other. Should these people be allowed to remain in Parliament even after they have crossed, even after they have been poached? For instance, now we're talking about three UPND MPs who are being disciplined by their party and are being chased by their party. Okay? They crossed the floor to the other side. So these are the issues that I think we need to address. Why is it that one should become a member of Parliament? And when you cross the floor, is it agreeable that you can still maintain the seat? These are the issues I think all of us as citizens, we need to agree on, because we realize that this is a democracy and we need our democracy to be strengthened. If you are elected as a member of the opposition, it is better you still remain a member of the opposition. But this thing of crossing the floor, because either the ruling party wants numbers or the other side would want numbers, it is quite unfortunate. It is not helping our democracy at all. And we've seen that even when we are going to enact a new constitution with a clause that a person can retain their seats, they will retain their seats when they cross the floor, we are going to see Zambia drifting into a one-party state, where a lot of people will be crossing the floor from the opposition to the ruling party and they still maintain their seats. Then what have we resolved at the end of the day? So there are simply serious issues that we really need to reflect as a nation. Is that what we want? If that is what we want, well and good. But if we want a particular political party, for instance, if you decide to join the PF, they're from UPND, it means you give up that seat, and the opposition party, UPND, should be able to replace you with their own member just to maintain the seat, and we do not go for by-election. Those are the options that are on the table. And I think as citizens, we need to agree to the merits and demerits of such a system.
Okay. Excellent, Isaac. Let's talk about, before I allow my colleagues to come in with their questions and comments, What are the top three Yali? I know there are 10. You are about to give us a roadmap. Maybe what you can do is just mention the 10 and address two or three Yali roadmap.
The Yali roadmap had started in a situation where the president was going to release the constitution, the draft constitution, by a certain date, which was August 1st. 2014. And after the release of the document, we would have gone into a process where stakeholders were supposed to look at it, the public were going to look at the document, and after looking at the document, we needed to subject the clauses to consensus building. So we had provided for the formation of a constitution negotiating a team, which was going to moderate on this discussion on the consensus building process, while we're able to negotiate the content, clean up the issues that needed to be cleaned up. And then from that stage, we're going to also look at moving to a next stage of trying to set up the referendum commission. From the referendum commission, we'll go to conduct updating the voters register. Updating the voters register, we'll go to a referendum alongside the 2016 election. So our ultimate was from August 1, 2015, the process was going to end with a referendum on the constitution if everything is agreed by stakeholders subjected to consensus building. Then we agree on them and we have a good document, then we have a referendum along the 2016 general election. Meaning that after the 2016 general election, the Zambians would have cast their ballot to agree or not to agree on the constitution. And once that the referendum was gone, would have a new parliament elected. And that parliament, their duty was only to enact a new constitution. Just go into parliament, vote, because we know that a parliament still has to vote. They vote and enact it because it was agreed by all stakeholders. So the three key issues that we have provided are simple. We provided for consensus duty in our our approach. We provided for cleaning up of the content of the constitution. We also provided for a referendum alongside the 2016 general election. I think those are the three hallmarks to our roadmap.
Excellent.
And when government released their roadmap, what we're happy about is that they could have changed the terms and the meaning. For instance, the constitution and negotiating team, they said it was going to be the constitutional implementation team. But basically, I think we are talking about the same thing. They have provided for consensus building on the constitution. The government has provided for the legal framework to be adopted for the referendum act. All those issues we had provided in our roadmap that we had submitted to government. So there might be the changes of the team. But I think ultimately we seem to be speaking almost the same voice as we had proposed earlier on.
Isaac, my question to you now is, as we move along here, I hope none of these processes or stages that are being mentioned, whether they want to call them implementation team or consensus building, no money is being paid out here. Is that the situation? No money or allowances are being paid out during implementation team or consensus building, whatever the terminology one wants to use. Here is my argument,
yes,
Isaac. The government always tries to find a way to reward its cadres.
Yes, I understand that concern that we have already spent a lot of money on the technical committee. And continuing to spend the money is going to be a problem to many Zambians, and including our cooperating partners. And so that is why almost everybody is careful enough on which direction we are going and how much they want to support this process. But I'll tell you something. When Mr. Kanyimba took over as the Minister of Justice, he stopped a very important process of the institutional reform process, which should have happened then. And the process that he had stopped is the validation process of the draft constitution. The technical committee wanted the draft constitution to be validated. But when Mr. Kanyimba was appointed as Minister of Justice, all that process was stopped. So we did not have validation on the constitution. And now it is becoming apparent that we actually need to look at what has been provided in the draft constitution. And it costs money, of course, to look at those provisions. It requires people to sit down and plan, and every other Zambian to say, this is what we want, this is not what we want. There are a lot of flaws. Even when we conducted the 2015 presidential by-election, you saw how the Constitution became problematic even to the ruling party, such that now
yes.
they think it is really important that we have a Constitution that is very clear, that gives no room for manipulation by anybody who's in power when the president dies or something like that. We have a situation where we have the director of public prosecution who was arrested. And this director of public prosecution has entered a nore on his, in his name. Okay? Those are the issues
right.
that are embedded in the Constitution. And the draft Constitution has still carried forward these provisions to the new Constitution.
Mm.
Do we still need to maintain these laws? So the
no.
question, as I've understood, is that you do not want to. We do not want to spend so much on people. But sometimes this cost is inevitable. Democracy just requires that we do that, we spend, but we need a good constitution that can iron out all those issues. There are a lot of issues, Nathan, that I can tell you in the draft constitution that we have learned now, especially coming from this election. For instance,
uh-huh.
if the Deputy Speaker of the National Assembly, if the Deputy Speaker of the National Assembly is considered to be a man who chairs the parliamentary proceedings and independent, should he be allowed to go out and campaign for one particular political party in a by-election? Those are questions that we need to answer, because we saw these things happening in the last election, and this Deputy Speaker has to go back in the House and moderate discussions between opposition and the ruling party members, claiming that he's actually a neutral person. Is that what we want? So it is important
yeah.
that we build consensus on this constitution. It is important that we put up a team, not the same team that sat on that committee, because that team that sat on the committee, they have their own ideas. The product we have now is what they wanted. So let us have the new brain. If everybody volunteers to say, Isaac, you are going to do it for free, because this is your document, I would gladly offer my services to say, I'll do it because this is part of my work of trying to deliver a constitution. But ultimately, there is always a cost attached to each and every process. The only thing that we need now is a commitment by government that we are going to end the process. We are not going to start storing the process the way it was stored in the last administration led by Mr. Sata. So we want a clear commitment. That is what is needed. It is not about the money. It is about the commitment and when we can have this draft constitution. Each and every Zambian here at home and abroad must know when we are going to end this process and what kind of commitment government has in ending the process.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. We are talking to Isaac Mwanza, our governance advisor at the Young African Leaders Initiative, and he's giving us Yari's position on the roadmap in enacting the constitution. Those of you that have called in, if you wish to ask Isaac a question, press 1 on your phone keypad so that I know that you want to say something or you want to ask a question or comment. Isaac is coming to us, compliments of Stephen Banda Communications. Those of you in the U.S., if you wish to communicate with Stephen Banda, it's 972-207-0916. Let's go to Canada. Roger, please go ahead.
Isaac, welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. This is Roger in Canada. My question is what you started
okay.
with Nathan. Why you guys moved away from the coalition? I thought, as they say in politics is a game of numbers. Without numbers, you are not going to achieve anything. Nathan and I, before you came, Isaac, we were saying, why every successive government can't pass a constitution? It's beyond us. We don't understand. But one reason we are finding out is there is no force, there's no, you know, opposition force which is coming, which can force government to do anything. And when you guys can pull out just for the reason you gave us, don't you think we are the ones who are allowing the constitution not to pass?
That's a very, very, very good question, Rogers. And I'll tell you something. You are right that there is an advantage when it comes to numbers. In numbers, you can achieve a lot. We did not have a problem with the grand coalition. And to an extent, I want to mention that Yali has been very free. We keep talking to some members of the grand coalition. We keep sharing our positions. They keep trying to talk to us as well. But the point is this. When you are right in politics, it is better to maintain to be right because you have done something which is right. We made a very good proposal to come up with a new constitution. What was needed was for the grand coalition simply to look at it. It wasn't cast in stone. It was something that we could have agreed to say, which other way can we try and look at this roadmap? Because that was just a proposal. Even to government when we submitted it, we did not say that they are going to take everything that you have said. We did not expect our friends to say they would take everything. But it was something that was open-ended where we could all discuss. And when we discuss, we should be able to come up with something that we can offer to government. Because as it stood, government had no plan. The coalition had no plan. But when we produced our plan received criticism because there is one member of the grand coalition who really wants a new constitution before 2016 because probably we are going to have a 50 plus one, which they thought was going to be an advantage to themselves. Okay? So they started pushing that agenda. So we became unpopular because our position was that we are going to have it alongside, we are going to have a referendum alongside the 2016 general election. And then we have Parliament enacted just shortly after the election. I think that is a more realistic plan that you can get than anywhere in the world when you are going to look at that document and forget about the politics that are involved. Who wants to go into power? Who wants the 50 plus one? And when do they want it? Or how badly they need it? So I think we needed to be very pragmatic. And we did not force ourselves out of the grand coalition. We explained before the entire grand coalition what our roadmap was. And our friends saw it fit to say, no, Yari, we cannot be with you. So we did not actually move out on our own, but we do not regret that action of moving out where they moved us from the grand coalition. Because time now has indicated us that we were on the right track and it is a better thing that we had proposed. But with time also, you should also realize that from last year to date, time has been lost. And that is why Yari has revised its strategy. That 10 master plan has now been revised. We still feel that we can have a referendum alongside the 2016 general elections. There are a number of citizens who have worked on a proposal. Citizens have come up and they're trying to help government to do a census using the ICTs, use the information and information technology. Develop the app to ensure that you can do a census within a shorter period of time, like 6 to 8 months. That is very possible. So they have submitted, and we are aware that these citizens have submitted such to government to say you can do a census using the app. Because for now, if government wants to do a census, a full census will take us 3 years. A sample census, you have to do a sample census. Central Statistics Office will tell you it will take 18 months to do a sample census. So when are we going to have a referendum if the census is going to take the minimum of 18 months? It means that we may not even have it alongside 2016 general election. But we are glad that there are so many citizens out there who are in the diaspora. Some of them are in the diaspora who have developed this proposal to government to say, can we have a census which can be done using the information technology within the shortest possible time? It is up to government to study it. And really to understand that citizens are concerned, they are trying to understand their grievances to say we do not have enough time to do this. They are trying to provide alternatives. So this whole world is about providing alternatives. We already provided alternatives. The Grand Coalition are still our friends. But we think that their insistence to say it is either a referendum before 2016 or never a constitution, that is not the right approach to take. We as Yari, what we have said now at this particular moment is that before the end of this year, because we now have a new president, we have the new justice minister, before the end of this year, Parliament should be able to amend the constitution Let us go to Parliament and amend areas which do not require a referendum. The issues of 50 plus 1, the issues of dual citizenship, the issues of presidential running mate, all those issues, they don't need a referendum. We can simply go to Parliament if consensus has been built and amend it. So consensus requires that those who are in Parliament, the UPND, the MMD, the PF, and everybody else, including citizens, yourselves out there, you need to be part and parcel of the process to say, I think this is what we want. Then our members of Parliament, their duty will simply be to amend the Constitution and introduce these clauses. That can be done before December 31st of 2015. So that we only remain with the referendum on part three, which is the Bill of Rights. There is no contention on the Bill of Rights. There is no contentious issue on the Bill of Rights. So even when you are going to take it to a referendum alone, you are almost every Zambian who would want to shoot it down with more rights in the Constitution. Nobody. Okay. The contentions are somewhere else. Why we just need to sit down, everybody, and agree. And this is what they're saying. Consensus building on the process is very important. So, yes, my brother, okay. Rogers, we moved out of the Grand Coalition. They moved us out of the Grand Coalition. We do not regret that we actually moved out and that we remained a lone voice. But as it stands now, the majority of the people of Zambia are beginning to appreciate what we have been saying all throughout. And even when we have told the Zambian public that our new strategy is to ensure that we do a two-way strategy of coming up with a new constitution, what is going to be possible? Look at the American Constitution itself. Is it 1791 when it was enacted? It did not have the Bill of Rights. Certain states there in the United States refused to sign the Declaration of Independence and that constitution because it did not have the Bill of Rights. It took 2 years for the Bill of Rights in the United States to be included and for those states to join the United States when it became the United States. So what is different with Zambia? If we can take even another year after we have done all the amendments, are we still going to say these piecemeal amendments are not good? That is not acceptable to us. The American Constitution has 27 amendments to date, but it is still being considered as a constitution that has stood the test of time. But every year, we know that even in America, every year people try and propose some amendments. Others, they don't meet the numbers for them to even go to for amending. But there are thousands of proposals that have been made to amend the American Constitution. The Bill of Rights did not deter America from having a constitution in 1791. And why should it deter Zambia from having a progressive and good constitution that is going to protect the electoral process, that is going to give a separation of powers, that would reduce the presidential powers?
Okay. I think we lost him. Roger, are you there? Or is it me? Zebron, can you hear me?
No, I'm here. I'm
yes,
here.
I can. Okay. I can.
Okay, I think we lost him. Isaac? Okay, I think we lost him. We shall come back. Zebron, it seems to me, it makes... I really hope we can have the referendum together with a general election. I don't see what the complication is or the difficulty, because it appears we like spending money in Zambia, you know?
Yeah, you know, like this constitution first, I don't like the process because it's very expensive. One, it's very expensive. One. Two, it interrupts the government as well. You know, if you look at the last process for this constitutional amendment commission, the way they arranged it, you know, they arranged like they tried to put up like you know, these shareholders of few companies, clergy's and MPs and pastors and chiefs, And then in doing that, if you remember, some PF members that were invited for this coalition were fired from the from their parties, and yet it created that by-election thing because they tried to include people like MPs and pastors, the Bishop Mambos and oh whatever from the first time, and then put them together, and then these MPs that are elected are picked up from other political parties. They're given so much money and they can't turn it down, and in doing that, they ended up getting fired. On the other hand, again, after all this process of going through from city to city to city to city, collecting people's views, they come up with completely nothing after spending money on allowances, on hotels and transport and all kind of stuff. So I think the referendum is the best idea, you know, just put it to vote, you know, put it to vote and, you know, let people decide, you know. But I was going to ask him before, I don't know if somebody can hear me because it looks like it's quiet.
Now we can.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask him, like, you know, how effective YALI is, you know, because it's a Young African Leaders Initiative, you know. My thing is that before I came here, in Zambia, we used to have Rock the Vote or something, a youth organization that used to help people, young people to go vote, you know. And then that organization had so much power, you know what I'm saying? They had so much influence on government, you know. So I'm trying to find out, you know, how effective YALI is, you know, how they get their membership. Because if they have, like, you know, if you say, no, we didn't even meet the president, you know, we're supposed to meet the president, they didn't give us a chance to meet the president, you know. If you're that effective, in my opinion, the government should be willing to meet you, you know what I'm saying, to sit down with you and see how they can work with you. How engaged are they in promoting young leadership, you know, in councillors, you know, telling people we're going to promote you, going to save you for you to be a councillor, but you're going to be part of us. Your voice should be supporting us. MPs, you know what I'm saying? For that, they end up building that coalition, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how effective are, but if they're just going to be like non-governmental, our voices just make sure that we say something good about electing young people, and then yet Zambian government and the MPs are full of odd folks from the 60s, you know, I don't think YALI is going to be that effective even in influencing the government over the constitution. So that was my thing. How effective, yeah, how much influence have they put, you know, to help, like, maybe a young MP, you know, like maybe, you know, Sampa, you know, Mao Sampa is a young guy, you know, if they can source whatever to see if Mao Sampa can have a voice with YALI, you know, they can promote him and he can also do the same, you know, they can start building that influence, you know what I'm saying? So that was my question.
That's a good assessment, Zebron, and I think, you know, they should broaden the what do you call it, the level playing field and the involvement of people. Let's hear from Titus. I don't know if we're going to get him back. We've only got 9 minutes remaining, but let's see what happens here. Titus, your thoughts so far on what you have heard?
I wish he was still here. I'm encouraged by hearing that. Congrats, Zebron, by the way. And then, I don't know, my question would have been and should be that all these things that we have seen, I think there's a lot of things that we saw from this general election, which comes out. I don't know, based on the money, we still have to figure out, should those things be included? Because what is on the referendum from the past has nothing to do with what we have seen currently. And there's too many points, as much as we are saying this and that, 50 plus one and all these things we are mentioning, we might have as many newer things that we've seen from what is going on right now, coming out from the general election. So my question to everybody is, should we almost take into consideration those things so that it comes up as a one package? Or are we going to cry for after we get into this new constitution, which might have 50 plus one and diaspora, a dual citizenship issue, but then we have 10 lingering things that we've just learned? You are looking at, I think you quoted out the DPP, all these things, you could have not said anything before last week when Mutembo passed a nolle prosequi against himself. You know, in favor of himself. So now that you see this, it's a time when you're going to start figuring out that what should we do with this office of DPP? Should it be questionable to the president, or should it be something totally independent in terms of how somebody does that? If there's a by-election, do we allow for somebody, I'm the new president, I don't like this one, I'll put this other one. How do we look at all those things? Because those things were never in the referendum. And if it costs money to include all those things to go around Zambia, based on what we know today, is our money...
You see, the interesting thing, Titus, like the point you are making is, wasn't it amazing to hear him say, you know, like the situation prevailing now about the Director of Prosecution, DPP, that is in the Constitution. So that's why the President's hands are tied. There's nothing he can do about it. Okay? So...
Yeah, but which powers are we going to eliminate? Because if you don't strictly eliminate that power of appointing a DPP, then again you would have missed the boat despite pushing up a new constitution. That is my point myself. So what do you look, if not done yet, should we even include that one? And now somebody will say, but this one, if we include it now, it was not seconded by the public at large through referendum. You see what I mean? Which calls for new set things that should be included to be taken. The whole thing looks like it has to be taken back into the referendum situation. The other things are already voted for, and if somebody changes their mind. But there are these new things that I'm worrying about myself. That is a recent new thing that you and I have seen.
For our listeners, next week we're going to go to Motomoto Museum. We'll be talking to Arizim with the director of Motomoto Museum there, and we shall see what happens. And then on the 25th of March, we are likely to get GBM. Isaac, finish the point you were making as we conclude.
Yes, so my point is that we should never hold the entire constitution hostage, even the good clauses. Let us not hold them hostage because we want a referendum. The only part that requires a referendum is the Bill of Rights. And we can go and amend constitution in parliament, have the progressive clauses included in the new in the constitution before the end of this year, so that we wait for the referendum. And we're expecting the Minister of Justice in the course of next week. If we are very optimistic that next week or so, we should be able to give the roadmap, the revised roadmap on the Constitution. We're expecting that he's going to give that kind of direction on the Constitution, which is going to save us resources. When we go to Parliament to amend, we're actually saving taxpayers' money, because we are not guaranteed that when we go to a referendum, the entire constitution will be adopted, that we are going to have the numbers. There is no guarantee for that. So let us go to Parliament at less cost.
We are running out of time here. We have a question here which I want you to address. Zebron wants to find out how would you gauge yourselves as YALI? How effective are you? How effective is YALI? Under 1 minute.
YALI has been very, very effective, and I think we have influenced a number of processes in this country, especially on the constitution, and also dealing with the issues of governance in other matters. I think government is able to listen to us now. Everything we say, when we criticize them, they are able to listen more. When they do something nice, we also give them compliments.
Okay, excellent. The other thing that I want you to address, Isaac, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We shall be reaching out to you. How do we get involved, those of us in the diaspora, in this process?
Already, as I'm talking to you, there is a group of Zambians in the diaspora. There's been a WhatsApp group that has been created, and it includes more people that are from the diaspora who are discussing and giving government feedback on the constitutional reform process. And people are free to join that WhatsApp group. I'll be able to contact you with the number, so that those who are interested should be able to join the group. But just notice that that group is about progress. They do not just want to continue talking. They want to be giving government updates. And so far, this group has given the Minister of Justice their comments on the roadmap. They have also submitted a plan to conduct the census. And these are people that we're talking about in the diaspora. Most of them are in the diaspora. So when you're out there, just know that there are people who are doing it and they're in contact with government, and government is listening to them. I'm sure that even the minister is going to talk about them when he gives his ministerial statement in parliament, that the people in the diaspora, the Zambians, they're able to contribute. They have given their own submissions.
Excellent. Isaac, we do thank you for taking the time to be with us, and we shall definitely call upon you again. Isaac was joining us from Lusaka. He's the governance advisor at the Young African Leaders Initiative, brought to you compliments of Stephen Banda Communications. You can reach them on their website, Stephen Banda Communications. All the numbers for Canada, UK, and Australia, they can give you phone cards from whichever part of the world that you live. Join us next week. We'll be talking tourism. We're going to be at Motomoto Museum. I believe it's in Northern Province, Roger. I don't even know now. Northern Muchinga, it's a little bit confusing. Everybody, have a good weekend, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Good weekend.